God. But go with me to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll start in verse number 7. Let's see how fast Mike can run back to the computer. Oh, man, he wasn't here last Wednesday, and I'll tell you, I don't know what we barely made it through the service.
Oh,
no, David did a fine job. I didn't mean it that way. He does a lot of other stuff other than just what you were filling in for. So he just, yeah, I don't know what we'd do without that guy. Amen. All right, but David did great filling in. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Praise God. So we're talking about the gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to do a lot of review here tonight. We've been covering these things the last several weeks. And so I just want to cover just a little bit in the way of review. We have in these nine gifts or nine manifestations of the Spirit, we've got three of these gifts that reveal something. And those are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirit. So three that reveal something. We have three gifts that do something. That would be the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. And then we have three gifts that say something. That would be prophecy, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And we've covered all of these, really. We've talked about eight of the nine gifts or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And we've been talking lately on the last few weeks on the gifts that do something, or we also call these the power gifts, and that would be the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and then tonight we're going to talk about gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. Again, 1 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, it says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles. And so here, Paul groups these together as he's talking about them, the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. So again, tonight we'll look at gifts of healings. And I want to read a good little bit out of Brother Hagin's book here, The Holy Spirit and His Gifts. And we did have some of these. I don't know if we still do or not. We had a few copies. Did you pick up one, Jeff? Did you get one? I ordered a few, and maybe they've been gobbled up. That's good if they have been. So, all right. But let me find where I want to read here. Here we go. The gifts of healings, which is what we're talking about tonight, the gifts of healings are manifested for the supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any natural source or means. As I've mentioned, every one of these nine gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. Some gifts are more spectacular in demonstration than others, but they are all supernatural. I remember hearing Brother Hagin say in person, I started to say personally, well, he didn't tell it to just me, but it was personally because I was in person. I heard him say it many, many times in person. Oftentimes we miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. And you've probably heard me say it here too. And so the supernatural is not always spectacular, but it is supernatural. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right. So some gifts are more spectacular in demonstration than others, but they're all supernatural. We may have some difficulty because of our limited knowledge in defining some of the other gifts, but I think we should have little difficulty defining this gift, the gifts of healings. Most of us basically understand the subject of healing. Healings were, of course, in prominence in Jesus' ministry as He walked on the earth. Jesus had a healing ministry, and He also gave authority to His disciples to heal the sick. Healing the sick is also included in the Great Commission. Did you realize that? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Yep. Amen. That's part of the Great Commission. Amen. So the heading of this next section says this, gifts of healings, not medical science. First, I want to emphasize the supernatural character of the gifts of healings. The gifts of healings have nothing to do with medical science or human learning. Now, as Brother Hagin is going to explain here, and I just want to say it up front, we're not opposed to medical science at all. We're not saying, you know, well, you either have to choose divine healing or you have to choose medical science. He's just making a distinction that gifts of healings is not the same as medical science. Sometimes people try to naturalize the gifts of the Spirit and say, well, you know, when he's talking about gifts of healings, he's just talking about the gift of medical science that he gave to doctors and to men. And that's not what gifts of healings is. Okay. All right. Luke, who was a medical doctor. Did you realize Luke was a doctor? All right. The beloved physician, he's called. Luke, who was a medical doctor, was with Paul on many of Paul's missionary journeys. Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles as well as the book of Luke. Luke was with Paul when he was shipwrecked and they were on the island of Melita. Nothing at all is said to the effect that Luke ministered to the folks on that island with his medical knowledge. But the father-in-law of the chief man of the island was sick, and Paul laid his hands on him, and he was healed. He was healed by the supernatural power of God. This was the gifts of healings and manifestation. Then the islanders brought the sick from all over the island, and Paul ministered to them, and they were all healed. Certainly, I believe in medical science, and I thank God for what it can do. I am certainly not opposed to doctors, but some people confuse medical science with the gifts of healings. I heard someone say on the radio one time that gifts of healings were what God had given doctors in medical science. But the gifts of healings are not doctors and medical science. If that is God's method of healing, then doctors ought not to charge anything. Medical treatment ought to be free because the Bible says freely you've received, freely give. However, as anyone who has had any experience with doctors knows, medical treatment is not free. Also, if doctors and medical science were God's method of healing, medical treatment would always be free from errors. Doctors wouldn't make no mistakes. However, we know that's not true either. Doctors and medical science are natural means of healing. The gifts of healings and other methods of divine healing are supernatural. I would not speak disparagingly about doctors, hospitals, and medical science because they do much good for humanity. I thank God for the number of good Christian physicians who have the best interests of their patients at heart and who minister to them with their natural human ability as a trained physician. But the healing that is supernatural doesn't come by diagnosis or prescribing treatment. Divine healing comes by the laying on of hands, anointing with oil, sometimes just speaking the word, just to name a few examples from the word of how healing is ministered. I believe in natural healing and I thank God for it. I think one of the greatest areas in medical science and one in which the greatest strides have been made is in the field of preventive medicine. But not only do I believe in natural healing, I also believe in supernatural or divine healing. Praise God. It will help us to understand the operation and the purpose of these gifts of healings by looking at some of their uses in the Scriptures. We know, first of all, that the purpose of these gifts is to deliver the sick and to destroy the works of the devil in the human body. And the Bible is full of such examples. We have discussed the working of miracles and the fact that the working of miracles is more prominent in the Old Testament than in the New Testament. It is just the opposite with the gifts of healings. The gifts of healings are more prominent in the New Testament than in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there aren't many records of the gift of the working of miracles in operation. There were a few instances in the ministry of Christ and less in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. But in the New Testament, there are many examples of the gifts of healings in operation. Jesus, and he talks about now about how Jesus ministered. Jesus himself ministered not as the Son of God, although he was the Son of God. The Bible says in the book of Philippians that he laid aside his divine privileges as God. And he ministered as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was more than just a man. Yes, he was God's son. He was 100% God, and yet he was 100% man, except for he had no sin nature. Amen? Did he have the capacity to sin? Yes, he did, because he was tempted. Amen. The Bible says he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amen. And so he did not yield to the any temptation to sin. So that in his humanity side, yet he was 100% God in nature. He is and was and always will be God. And yet when he came to this earth and ministered, he was dependent on the Holy Spirit. That's why he said in Luke chapter 4, when he began his ministry, went to his hometown of Nazareth after he had been baptized by John in the River Jordan. And then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, was fasting for 40 days, was tempted by the devil during that time, overcame every temptation, and then came back. The Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit, came into his hometown, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, found the scripture, which we know as Isaiah 61, and he read those words, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those that are bound," and on and on. And so he said, again, notice what he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And after he finished reading, the Bible says he closed the book or the scroll and he sat down and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, he said, "This is what I just read is happening now. The Spirit of the Lord is on." And someone, I've not studied this out, but I heard someone say the reason they got so upset too, besides him saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled," is when he was reading it, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he put the emphasis on that. And they knew, the Pharisees and the religious leaders there knew that prophecy of Isaiah was about the Messiah. And so basically Jesus was announcing, "I am the Messiah," and saying that. And after that message, they tried to throw him off the cliff, off the brow of the hill on which their city was built. I've been there, and it's a long drop. We went there on our trip 2 years ago, and to the place where that happened. And so, but anyway, he said he acknowledged there the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, because he was anointed to do these things. And then Peter says that in Acts 10:38, he says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, if he had done the miracles as the Son of God, why would he need to be anointed? No, he laid that aside, and he was dependent upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit. All right? Everybody see that? Okay. All right. Although Jesus had always been the Son of God, Brother Hagin writes, he never healed anyone until after he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. This should prove conclusively that Jesus didn't heal the sick by some power that was inherent in him as the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Rather, he healed the sick just as anybody else called of God would minister to the sick today, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, by the manifestation of these gifts of healings, and by the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Remember how it says verses, and it's in Luke and in Mark, it says that he was preaching the Word and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Remember how the Scripture also said the people came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases? Amen. There was power in the Word. Amen. Healing power in the Word. Praise God. All right. He goes on and says here, he said, I want to point out a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at verses 28 through 30 in 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30. And God, look at this with me, it's on the screen. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, and what's the next one? Then gifts of healings. Okay, that's been appointed. That's what God has set or appointed in the church. I've said many times, I'll say it again tonight to remind us, there's a lot of things in the church, in the church world, that God never appointed, that God never had anything to do with. All right? some of the things are benign and fine and okay, but there's a lot of tradition and a lot of stuff that maybe is done in church that God never appointed. Well, we ought to have everything that God appointed in the church. Amen. And God has appointed or has set gifts of healings in the church. Amen. Praise God. And he goes on, talks about helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And then he asks in verse 29, are all apostles? No. Okay. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Verse 30, do all have gifts of healings? No. All right, some of y'all fell off the wagon there. Okay. No, the answer is no. All do not have gifts of healings. Wait a minute, Pastor. This goes against everything you've always taught us. You've always taught us that everybody can be healed, that healing belongs to all of us. And now you're saying it doesn't. No, I'm not saying that. Amen. If you're getting that, I need to explain. All right. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. What's he talking about? You know, you already know, but what he's talking about is public ministry. Does everyone have the ministry of gifts of healings? No. Does everyone have the ministry of giving messages publicly in tongues and or interpreting those messages in a public setting? No. Now, is it the will of God for every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues? Yes. Is it the will of God for every believer to be healed? Yes. Okay. We're talking about two different things here. Okay. All right. So here, he's talking about what God has set in the church, the different ministries. Apostle is a ministry, right? Prophet is a ministry. Teaching is a ministry. Gifts of healings is a ministry. It's a ministry that God has set in the church. And actually, when he says miracles and gifts of healings, what he's doing is encompassing the evangelist office or the evangelist ministry. Because if you compare this list, which we did earlier in this series, if you compare this list with the list in Ephesians 5, that God gave gifts unto men, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Well, if you compare the list, Some of the things are consistent. Ephesians mentions apostles. Corinthians here mentions apostles. Ephesians mentions prophets. Corinthians mentions prophets. Ephesians mentions teachers. Corinthians mentions teachers. But then Ephesians says evangelist. Here in Corinthians, he says miracles, gifts of healings. And then Ephesians mentions pastors. Notice pastors is conspicuously absent from 1 Corinthians. You mean we should just shut this place down? Should I quit? Am I out of the will of God? No. We see, again, like evangelists, we see it listed descriptively rather than title. Okay? So we see a description of the pastor's ministry in helps and administrations. So it's my job to administrate, and it's y'all's job to help me. Amen. I need lots of help. That's the local church. Amen. All right. So anyway, let me get back to some of the things that Brother Hagin says here. Notice in verse 28 go back to verse 28 there, Mike, if you would. Notice in verse 28 where he says that phrase gifts of healings. Okay. Notice in verse 28 that both the words gifts and healings are plural, and this is the way it should be listed in every one of these verses where this gift is mentioned. Actually, in the King James, in verse 9, it says gifts of healing, singular. But in the New King James, can you go back to verse 9, way back up to verse 9 near the start? To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings. In the New King James, it's plural. If you look at that, anybody have a King James Bible? No, can you bear witness that it says gifts of healing, singular? Right, okay. All right, so there's the difference. And that was actually an oversight in the King James. It literally should be healings, plural, in both. Now, don't throw away your King James Bible. It's a wonderful translation. So, But he points out here, he says it should be listed in every one of those verses where the gift is mentioned. All right. Why are they gifts of healings and not the gifts of healing, singular? The Bible doesn't specifically say, but I have an opinion which I believe is well-founded as to why this is so. I don't think any of us could know for sure scripturally because the scriptures don't specifically tell us. I appreciate that about Brother Hagin. You know, he would say, I'm not dogmatic about this. He said, I'm not even pup-matic about it. What's pup-matic? That's even a smaller dog. Okay. It's smaller. He said, I'm not even pup-matic about it. He would always let you know, okay, this is my opinion. The Bible doesn't tell us directly and specifically, although it infers it. He always makes that distinction, and I appreciate that. And I always try to do that as well. So I don't think any of us could know for sure scripturally because the scriptures don't specifically tell us. However, it may be that there are gifts of healings, plural, because there are different kinds of diseases, and one gift wouldn't heal every kind of disease. For example, I've noticed, and I alluded to this last week. For example, I've noticed in my own ministry, as well as in the ministry of others who have these gifts of healings in operation in their lives and ministries, that when it comes to healings, in some areas, I have more success than in other areas. Other ministers have concurred that this is also true in their ministries. For instance, other ministers have told me that there are certain kinds of diseases they seldom get people healed of in their ministry, and yet when it comes to other diseases, nearly every person they pray for is healed. Of course, this is not to negate the fact that believers can be healed on their own faith in God's Word. And yet, we must also recognize that there are those in the body of Christ who are endued with particular spiritual gifts, such as gifts of healings. For instance, in my own ministry, ruptures, growths, hernias, or lumps of any kind are almost always healed when I pray for people. I once kept a record in every meeting I had over a period of several years, and in 99 cases out of 100, these types of afflictions were eventually all healed. That's pretty good success, isn't it? Some of the growths disappear within a month. Others sometimes take several months before they completely disappear. But now let me stop right there. See, that's so important, and that's what Dad Hagin was so good at, is teaching people to do what he would call keep the switch of faith turned on. A lot of times where people miss their healing is because something may not manifest instantly, they get out of faith and they say, oh, well, I guess I didn't get it. Oh, well, I guess I wasn't believing. Oh, well, I guess God did, or whatever reason. When if they would just keep the switch of faith turned on, that power was administered to the person. And if they keep believing, and if they keep saying, your hands were laid on me and I'm recovering. Amen. That's a good position of faith and a good declaration of faith after you've been ministered to. Hands were laid on me and I'm recovering. Amen. Praise God. He said others sometimes take several months before they completely disappear, but in most cases these growths disappear and the people are healed. That is the manifestation of the gifts of healings. One fellow who was greatly used, see, and here's another thing. Sometimes people think, well, if it doesn't change instantly, then it's not supernatural. No, no, no. Amen. You know, there were cases in the Bible where Jesus ministered to people and they began to amend. Yeah. Yeah. From that hour, he began to amend, the Bible says. He began to get better. Yeah. Amen? Just because it's not instant doesn't mean it's not supernatural.
That's right.
Amen? Again, sometimes we miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. Well, it'd be spectacular if it was instant, and sometimes it is instant. And we thank God for that. Amen? But sometimes it's gradual, and that's just as supernatural.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad Pat agrees. Glory to God. I'll preach to you, Pat. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Praise God. All right. One fellow who was greatly used of God in praying for people who were deaf said by his own admission that he very seldom got any other types of malady except deaf folks healed. I watched him several times in various meetings, and I never saw a deaf person fail to receive healing under this man's ministry. In the ministry of Jesus, every manner of sickness and every manner of disease was healed. That's because Jesus had the Spirit without measure. John 3:34 says that Jesus had the Spirit without measure. We have the Spirit by measure. All right. See, Jesus was the body of Christ in the earth in his day, right? Well, today we are the body of Christ. It's spread out a little bit. Okay. All right. There's the difference. Okay. So let's where do I want to go now? I think I want to go to the book and the scripture in Acts. Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to Acts. We looked at this last week, but let's look at it again tonight. Acts 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to, who's Philip? Anybody know who Philip is? Philip was an evangelist. Well, at this point, he hadn't made evangelist status yet. Well, I guess he had by this time. He started out as was he one of the original 12 apostles? No. He started out as a deacon in Acts chapter 6. He was one of the first seven deacons that were appointed. But here in Acts chapter 8, he goes to Samaria and he does what? Preaches Christ to them. All right. And what happens? The next verse says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. Why did they do that? They said, well, you're preaching out of the Bible and we know the Bible's true. No, they were heathen. The reason they believed what Philip was preaching, because they were hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. All right. Next verse. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. So people that were demon possessed got set free. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Praise God. So notice the areas that are mentioned here where people got healed, people that were paralyzed and people that were lame. Do you think that there was possibly in the city of Samaria there anybody that was blind? I think there probably was. Do you think there was probably anyone that was deaf? Do you think there was probably anyone that had other conditions other than paralysis and lame? Now that covers a pretty big area there, being paralyzed or being lame. But don't you suppose that there were probably people that had other conditions? Well, it doesn't mention anything about them being healed. All right. Now, well, that doesn't mean it wasn't God's will to heal them. It just means that the gifts of healings that were operating through Philip were specific in ministering to people that were paralyzed or people that were lame, and then also people that were demon-possessed or afflicted. You see that? All right. Gifts of healings. Okay, different areas, different types of anointing for different diseases. And so Philip had an anointing to minister to people that were paralyzed and lame, just like Dad Hagin said he had 99 out of 100% cases of ministering to people and seeing people healed that had ruptures and growths and tumors and things like that. What does he mention here? Where is it at? Okay. Ruptures, growths, hernias, okay, and lumps, all right. That would include tumors. For Philip, it was paralyzed and lame. All right. Now, I want to say this. You might want to write this down. Gifts of healings, because he doesn't mention it specifically in here. Gifts of healings is God initiating the healing. When gifts of healings is in operation, that is God initiating the healing. Healing by faith is the individual initiating the healing. And he talks about the difference. He talks about gifts of healings versus receiving healing by faith. There is a difference between receiving healing through the manifestation of gifts of healings and just simply receiving healing by our own faith in God's Word. God has taught me through the years the difference between the two. Both are scriptural ways to receive healing. When I received healing for my own body, for example, no one laid hands on me. In fact, I didn't really know there was any church group that believed in divine healing. I didn't know there was such a thing as a full gospel movement. But as a Baptist boy on the bed of sickness, I read Grandma's Methodist Bible and I was healed. Not just because I believed in divine healing necessarily, but because I acted and stood on Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So I prayed and begin to say, I believe I receive healing for my deformed heart. I believe I receive healing from my paralyzed body. I believe I receive healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And God's healing power was manifested in my body. My healing came because I acted in faith on God's word. You can do the same thing. God's word will work for you if you believe and act on it. Gifts of healings are manifested through another person to you. All healings are done by God, of course, but the difference is the channel through which the healing is manifested. And again, gifts of healings, we could say, is when God initiates the healing. Healing by faith is when the individual initiates the healing, as in the case of the woman with the issue of blood, which we'll look at tonight. And we've looked at this, if you've been around here for a while, you know we've looked at this scripture a lot, but it's a wonderful passage. Mark 5, this is the one, Bijan, I was telling you about and pointing out to you on Sunday. Mark 5, 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So here we can see that the woman with the issue of blood, this woman, she initiated her own healing. She heard about Jesus. She heard that he was healing the sick. Someone came. I don't know if it was a friend, a neighbor, a relative, but somehow she heard about Jesus. And what she heard caused her to say, you know, if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. She must have heard a very positive report about Jesus because it gave her hope. And not only did it give her hope, it gave her faith. And she began to say, if I touch his clothes, I shall be healed. And then she realized, well, wait a minute, what am I doing sitting around here? If I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. So she got up to where Jesus was at. She heard where he was at. She heard he was passing through town. And she said, well, I've got to get to him because if I touch his clothes, I'll be well. So she's initiating all this. So she gets up and she acts on her faith and she presses through the crowd. We know there was a huge crowd around Jesus because the disciples said after Jesus asked the question, who touched me? And his disciples were like, duh. You know, there's probably 100 people that have touched you in the last 5 minutes. It's like a movie star, you know, showing up in a crowd, you gathering around a movie star, or someone famous or whatever, because Jesus was famous during that time because of all the healings and miracles that were taking place. And so people were crowding around him, wanting to see him, wanting to touch him, wanting to be near him. But this woman comes through and presses through the crowd, and she touches not his arm or shoulder, the hem of his garment, his clothing. Now, again, we talk about, again, these gifts of the Spirit and the anointing of God. The anointing is transferable into cloth. Acts chapter 19, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul so that handkerchiefs or aprons were taken from his body to the sick. The diseases left them. The evil spirits went out of them. And so, again, that anointing that was on Jesus was soaking in to his clothing. And she touches the hem of his garment. And the Bible says immediately she feels in her body that she's healed. And then the second thing that happens is Jesus all of a sudden is aware that power has gone out of him. Up until that time, Jesus was not aware that that woman was around. So, well, he was Jesus. He knew everything. No, wait a minute. And again, he operated on the earth as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He knew things supernatural. Well, sure he did. The Holy Spirit would reveal things to him. But here, he's on his way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter. That's what he's focused on. That's what he's got his mind on. And he's trying to work his way through this crowd, and all of a sudden, he senses the power of God go out of him. Well, that woman initiated her own healing, and Jesus said that. He said, "Daughter, my power has made you whole." Well, was it his power? It was, but that's not what he said. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." She initiated that. Amen? And if her faith can make her whole, then your faith can make you whole. Amen. Praise God. That's good news. Amen. Now, let's look at another case where, again, gifts of healings is when God is initiating the healing. John chapter 5, verse 2. John 5 and verse 2. "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda." I went there when I was in Israel 2 years ago. Went to the pool of Bethesda. And I actually claimed my healing there. I was in some pain in my leg from all the walking we were doing. You know, actually, I was fine. If I could have got out and walked at a brisk pace, I would have been fine. It was the shuffling that we were having to do. We were walking through crowds, and you can only go as, it's just like traffic. You can only go as fast as the slowest person ahead is going. So we were shuffling through Jerusalem like this, and I got sore doing that shuffling through Jerusalem like that for hours. And so my leg was hurting. We got to the pool of Bethesda. I thought, this is a good place to claim my healing. I thought, Lord, I'm going to claim my healing right here. Well, then, you know, within a couple of hours, the pain was all gone and never came back. Praise God. So, amen. So the pool of Bethesda, having five porches. Verse 3, "In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." And so again, this is God initiating the healing, but it's kind of humorous in a way. I've pointed this out before. If you think about it, the blind folks were there, couldn't see how to get into the pool. And the lame and the paralyzed people that were there couldn't make it to get in either. So it was kind of a haphazard thing. You know, the blind were kind of stumbling. No, it's over here. Hopefully they'd work together. Hopefully the lame people would be able to say, "Oh, you're going the wrong way. Go the other way." Now, if a person was blind and deaf, he was really in bad shape because he couldn't hear them giving him directions. But anyway, I don't know if it worked out like that or not. I guess when we get to heaven, maybe we'll see a movie of this. But one day when I was reading that, it just struck me as funny. Like, again, the blind people couldn't see how to get in, and the lame people didn't have anybody. You know, they couldn't walk to get in. But somebody would get in, and the first one, goodness, it might have taken a week. You're thinking, okay, whoever gets in within the first 3 seconds is going to get healed. The angel might have been there like, "Okay, come on, y'all. Come on. Lord, how long am I going to have to stay?" You've got to stay till the first one comes in. Okay, come on. Oh, Lord. Oh, my goodness. All right. Now, a certain man, verse 5, "Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. He'd been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?'" Who's initiating this healing too? So God is initiating the healing by sending the angel down, but also this is God initiating this healing by sending Jesus to this man, and Jesus reaching out to the man. This is not the man coming to Jesus saying, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean," like the leper did. This is not someone coming to Jesus, like the woman with the issue of blood, and touching the hem of his garment. This is Jesus going to the man and saying, "Hey, do you want to be well? Do you want to be made whole and made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool." See, he couldn't get in. He said, "Oh, I'd like to, but I can't get in there." He said, "I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming," he's dragging himself over there, "another one steps down before me." And so he said, I've just never been able to hit the lottery here and get in. And Jesus is trying to get his attention off. Well, you don't have to wait for that. Yeah. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. What is this? This is gifts of healings in operation. Praise God. This is God initiating the healing. The man's sitting there. The man's thinking, I'm down on my luck. I don't have anybody to put me in the water. Somebody always gets in before me. And Jesus comes up to him and says, do you want to be made well? And he says, well, I don't have anybody. And Jesus says, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And healing power of God came on the man. He was healed. Now, he did have a part to play in gifts of healings. Faith is important. The faith of the individual has to receive it as well. And so he believed what Jesus said, and he made the effort, and he got up, and he was made well. Praise God. And so he obeyed the instruction that Jesus gave him in that. So that's God initiating the healing. That's gifts of healings. Healing by faith is where the individual initiates the healing. Praise God. Now, another thing in this is that gifts of healings operates with the word of knowledge. And we talked about that, and we have seen that manifested here many times through different ministers. And in particular, one of our own congregation, Wendy Womack, God uses her very distinctly in gifts of healings along with the word of knowledge, because she'll actually have the symptom in her body. And it's very prominent. Several weeks ago, it was almost overwhelming for her. If you remember, the Spirit of God was on her so strong. And she began to sense several different conditions of sickness that people had. And she would call those out, and folks would come up then and would be ministered to. But that's the word of knowledge in operation. Remember, the word of knowledge is not all of God's knowledge. What is it? It's God revealing something. There's somebody here that has this condition. Praise God. That's the word of knowledge in operation. And why does God work that way? Well, to number one, to encourage the person that needs healing, to motivate them. Okay, yeah, I can be healed. God does want me healed. It's something that can spark their faith and say, they're calling out my condition. She's calling out my condition. You know, I'm going to receive my healing. Amen? So gifts of healings and the word of knowledge working together. So let me get back and we'll close with I'll read you just a little bit more out of this. Some really good things that Dad Hagin says. Someone has said that any time you receive healing, it is done by the gifts of healings in operation. In one sense of the word gift, healing by any method is a gift, because anything you get from God is a gift, generally speaking. We can't earn healing, just like we can't earn salvation. It's a gift. Amen? All right, so in that sense, yes, all healing is a gift. However, all healing is not necessarily the gifts of healings in manifestation. My own healing, for example, was manifested as I believed God's word and acted on it in faith. So 1 Corinthians 12:28 isn't referring to a healing that is given to a person to bless him. It is a ministry of healing given to bless others. Any healing from God is a gift, of course. In fact, anything we receive from God, any blessing, would be a gift. But these gifts of the Spirit are supernatural manifestations of the Spirit, and gifts of healings are one such operation manifested to someone through another. Again, the gifts of the Spirit in most cases are not for your benefit. When God manifests one of the gifts of the Spirit through you, it's to benefit someone else, right? Okay, and that's what he's talking about right here. Gifts of healings are one way of receiving healing. But as I've said, there are ways of receiving divine healing other than by the manifestation of the gifts of healings. As a Baptist boy preacher, I would preach on faith and prayer. I wasn't conscious of any kind of anointing or any manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in operation as I ministered to people. I would just pray for people in faith, and God would honor faith because God honors faith in His Word. Therefore, people were healed. Later, I learned that there were others preaching divine healing besides me. They call themselves full gospel. I would fellowship with them. And soon afterwards, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. I continued to pray for the sick by the laying on of hands and by the anointing with oil. In 1938, I accepted the pastorate of a little full gospel church in the Blackland of North Central Texas. While in prayer late one night, the Lord said to me through the Spirit, I have given thee gifts of healings and have sent you to minister to the sick. It's way back in 1938. That was right about the time. I think that was the same year he was filled with the Holy Spirit. As a pastor, I had been anointing people with oil and praying for them in faith for healing by the laying on of hands. Up to that time, there had been no manifestation of the gifts of healings through me. Many times, people would be healed because they got in agreement with me and we were acting in faith on God's word. But after the Lord spoke to me concerning my ministry to the sick, I became conscious of this other something working in my ministry, and there would be a manifestation to other people through me. And I really didn't do anything about it except yield to the Spirit. Then I saw the difference between healing simply by believing God's promises and by the operation of these gifts of healings. People can be healed directly by believing God for themselves. Many are healed, as I was, simply by believing God. But when it comes to the gifts of healings, there is a special manifestation of the Spirit through one person to another person who is in need. When people ask me to minister to them, all I can say is that I will minister to them with all the ability I have and with all that God gives me. But we don't operate the gifts of the Spirit as we will. It is as the Spirit wills. However, if there is no gift of the Spirit in manifestation, people can always be healed and set free based on the Word of God. The Bible says it is the anointing or the power of God that breaks the yoke. The anointing is on the Word of God. That's why it's so important for believers to be members of a local body, a local church, where the Word of God is preached and where God moves by His Spirit. Also, I've found that when the Spirit of God is moving, it is a whole lot easier to receive whatever it is you need from God than it is at other times. And that's important too. And we have had and do have and will have times where God is moving in a special way in our service. And that's why it's important to respond when He is. That's why it's important to jump in. That's why it's important to reach out and to receive it and to yield and to respond. Like, for instance, if the Lord uses Wendy or someone else in the word of knowledge like that, you know, sometimes folks don't come forward and they come up afterward and they say, well, I didn't want to come forward, but yeah, that was me you were talking about. Well, you know, you can still pray for the person in faith there, but you miss that time where the Spirit of God is moving and where the anointing is strongest. So don't miss out on that. All right. Amen. All right. As promised, we prayed a prayer last Wednesday. Do you remember? Anybody remember? David, would you pass these out to everybody and then just put the rest on the information table?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does faith discriminate?
Does faith discriminate?
In healing.
I don't know if I understand the question.
It's not limited. Is it limited to just certain areas of healing in a person?
Faith, no. I mean, like you said, faith in God's Word, you can be healed in any area. These gifts of healings, again, you know, they're distributed. And again, as he said, some people are anointed to minister specifically in certain areas. Like he's talking about the minister that got nearly or all the deaf people he prayed for were all healed, but didn't have success in other areas as far as gifts of healings. Now, again, that same minister could preach the word and pray for the person in faith, and that person in faith could believe for their healing no matter what the condition was, and be healed. Does that, I don't know if that answers it or not, or if that helps. So, all right. So David's got a prayer that he's given to you, and I want you to take it, and I'd like for you to keep it in your Bible, if you would, and pray it every day. It says, daily say to the Lord. Let's go, Dave. Move a little faster here. All right. There you go. Good. Delegate. All right. Dave and Dave. All right. David Ortega is going to help. All right. Good job. That's the way to double time it. All right. So let's get these guys over here too. Give one to Mike up there in the booth. All right. Everybody, Barbara, did you get one? Okay. Everybody got one? All right. Daily say to the Lord. You ready?
Yes.
Let's say it together. Lord, these manifestations of your Holy Spirit are for us today. You haven't taken them out of the church. They belong to us, and we ought to have them in manifestation. We pray, Lord, that they will be in manifestation in our midst. Let's pray that again together. You ready? Lord, these manifestations of your Holy Spirit are for us today. You haven't taken them out of the church. They belong to us, and we ought to have them in manifestation. We pray, Lord, that they will be in manifestation in our midst. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So we're desiring them. And so let's say this. Say, Lord, we desire tongues, the interpretation of tongues, prophecy, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles. Amen. So there's the nine gifts of the Spirit that are listed and mentioned there. There's the scriptures that tell us we're to desire them, and there's the prayer. So keep this in your Bible and pray this daily. Praise God.